Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Sunday, first class, March 24, 2024, Romans.
New equipment, yeah.
Boom!
All right, before we get started, a few things. First of all, yesterday, Linda Gray had her birthday. Happy birthday to Linda. And she loves yellow. Lello. Happy birthday to Linda. That's the most important thing. Then we have March Madness. What happened to Clay Vertrees? Well, he just lost. He just forfeited, and it'll all go to the pastor now. Well, if you, those who want to enter March Madness, Upland Bible Church next year, you might talk to the ladies. The ladies know what they're doing. After the first day, first place was Gresha. She had 42 points. Second place was Jamie. She had 41 points. Third place was Sherry Bingham. And she had 40 points. That was after the first day, it was all ladies. After the second day, first place was Sherry Bingham. The only one who was brilliant enough that had Yale winning. But you know, I'll say one thing about that. When they interviewed the player from Yale, by the way, they all look like men. Short hair, no tattoos. And they interviewed this fellow and he says, "I want to give all the glory to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." From Yale. I about fell out of my chair. Well, I'm happy for him and the team. And then Clay was second, but that's over. Gresha was third. Sherry had 82 points after the second day. Clay, 77. Gresha and Dave were tied at 73. And Derek and Tim and Dar and Deb were at 72. So still, I know. Then after the third day, that would be yesterday. First place, Sherry Bingham. She had 98 points after 3 days. Clay, second. 95. Gresha, third. You're doing very well, you know. Gresha, third at 92. And then Derek has 91, Tim and Dar and Ryan tied at 90, and Deb is next. So that's after 3 days. It's a horse race. You notice my name wasn't in there anywhere. I won't say who is in last place. But I know one thing. Gary Brown does not have the gift of prophecy. I know that. 100%. He does not have the gift of prophecy. It's hard to have that few number of points, I tell you. May have been a record. Well, today is Palm Sunday. Next Sunday is Easter Sunday. Resurrection Sunday. Victory Sunday. Rick Penko. Many of you know Uncle Rick and Auntie Jean. And Rick was the one who was an unbeliever. His wife Jean was a believer. And they asked him time and time again if he wanted to come to church. And no, no, no. And then one Sunday, Jean was getting ready to come to Bible class, and Rick had a suit on, tie. She says, "Where are you going?" He says, "I'm going to church." "You're going to church? Why?" "Why? You don't believe in anything anyway." And they came in and sat down right here, and I gave the grace gospel, and Uncle Rick placed his faith in Jesus Christ that morning. And he was here every day from that day on. Every day. You talk about a sponge that just couldn't get enough of the grace and truth of the Word of God. That was Uncle Rick. And he grew up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. And he became one of my deacons. And one of the best deacons I've ever had here at Upland Bible Church. And he had always come in on Easter Sunday. Come in and he'd say, "Happy Victory Day, sir." I said, "Yes, Rick, it is Happy Victory Day. The Lord Jesus Christ won the victory over death, over the grave, over sin. The greatest miracle." There are two great, great miracles on two special days that the world will never see miracles like these. And that is Christmas and Easter. Now, this is Palm Sunday. Next Sunday is Easter Sunday. But next Sunday, we're going to have communion as the second part of the class next Sunday. Since we are, I'm going to start the Easter special today on Palm Sunday. So we'll start today. I get two classes today. Then I get the third one next Sunday. And then communion. Perfect time to have communion too. Two of the greatest miracles that the world will ever know took place on two very special days, Christmas and Easter. Christmas is the greatest miracle that the world will ever know. At that very first Christmas, a powerful and miraculous event took place. The incarnation and virgin birth of the eternal Son of God. The eternal Son of God left heaven and glory, and he humbled himself, and he took on true humanity. Why? Because deity can't die. He took on true humanity to fulfill Operation Grace, God the Father's plan of salvation for mankind. And he willingly took on true humanity so he could go to a cross and on that cross solved the world's problem of sin. Christmas is all about the first coming of the Messiah. Jesus is the Messiah. Jesus is the Christ. Now, when you say Messiah or Christ, those are translations. The Hebrew word is Mashiach, and it's transliterated Messiah, but it doesn't tell you what it means. Christos is Christ, is transliterated Christ, but it doesn't tell you what it means. It means the Anointed One. Both Mashiach and Christos, when you translate it, the Anointed One. The Anointed One by who? The one who was anointed by God the Father to come and solve the world's problem of sin. God the Father is the author of Operation Grace, the cross, the plan of salvation, and the Anointed One from the Father to carry that out was Jesus Christ. So he is the Messiah, the Anointed One from the Father. He is the Christ, the Anointed One from the Father. So when the New Testament says Jesus is the Christ, it is saying that Jesus is the Messiah. It is saying that Jesus is the Anointed One from God the Father. Have we even had prayer? No. Well, what's wrong with you people? In preparation, let's pray. Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, for the plan of salvation, Operation Grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, for the Anointed One, your eternal Son, who willingly carried out that plan, left heaven, took on true humanity, and went to a cross for us to pay the penalty for all of our sins, so that anyone, any place, anywhere who simply believes in him receives the gift of eternal life. And as we assemble this morning to fellowship in the Word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. All right, we're going to start this morning. Turn in your Bibles to Psalm 2. Psalm 2. How many of you knew that Psalm 2 was a resurrection, a psalm that deals with the resurrection of Jesus Christ? Psalm 2, this is a great psalm. We have studied this in the past. Starts in verse 1 and says, "Why do the nations conspire and the peoples plot in vain?" And boy, does that describe today what's going on in the world? Why do the nations all over the world conspire and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth take their stand. And the rulers gathered together. What? Against the Lord. This was not only true in David's day. This is true today. They gather together against the Lord. That's God the Father. And against His anointed one. God the Father's anointed one is the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Christ. They gather together against the Lord, God the Father, and against His anointed one, the Messiah. And this is what they say. Let us break their chains, they say. This is the arrogant thinking and operation of people who reject Jesus Christ and hate God, hate the Word of God, hate Jesus Christ. This is what they think and say. Let us break their chains, they say, and throw off their fetters. The one enthroned in heaven, God the Father, laughs. He laughs at them. The Lord scoffs at them. Then the Lord rebukes them in His anger. And that's His absolute righteousness and perfect justice. And He terrifies them in His wrath, saying, I have installed my King, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Anointed One. I have installed my King on Zion, my holy hill. Verse 7, I will proclaim the decree of the Lord. He said to me, God the Son, you are my Son, the deity of Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God. You are my Son. Today I have become your Father. Now, what does that right there. This is a verse, Psalm 2:7, of the day of Christ's resurrection. And we know that. Turn over to Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13, starting at verse 32. We tell you the good news, what God promised our fathers, He has fulfilled for us, their children, by raising up Jesus, the resurrection of Jesus, as it is written in the second Psalm. And then he quotes Psalm 2, verse 7. You are my Son. Today I have become your Father. The fact that God raised Him from the dead, never to decay, is stated in these words, I will give you the holy and sure blessings promised to David. So it is stated elsewhere, you will not let your Holy One see decay. But Acts 13, 33 and 34 quotes Psalm 2, verse 7. You are my Son. Today I have become your Father. And it's for the describing the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So now you know Psalm 2, verse 7. We have the resurrection of Jesus Christ prophesied. Now, let's go back to Psalm 2 and see what this Messiah, Jesus Christ, now He is what? This is Now he is the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords. His resurrection, ascension, and session has taken place. He's seated at the right hand of God the Father. Now he has a new title, King of all kings, Lord of all lords. So then the Father says, ask of me and I will make the nations your inheritance, the ends of the earth your possession. And you will rule them with an iron scepter, and you will dash them to pieces like pottery. Therefore, you kings all over the world, be wise, be warned, you rulers of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son. Here's what you ought to be doing. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you be destroyed in your way, for his wrath can flare up in a moment. Blessed are all who take refuge in him. Well, great psalm. And Psalm 2, verse 7. The resurrection of Jesus Christ. So the two greatest miracles that the world will ever know take place on two very special days, on Christmas and on Easter. Easter is the greatest miraculous sign that proves to the whole world that Jesus is the Messiah. Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus is the anointed one, anointed by God the Father, to be the Savior of the world. And it does this through his resurrection from the dead. Romans 1 verse 4 says, who, Jesus Christ, was powerfully declared to be the Son of God. How? By his resurrection from the dead. Jesus Christ, our Lord, powerfully declared to be the Son of God by his resurrection from the dead. Easter is a celebration of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It is the celebration of the miraculous victory of Jesus Christ over physical death and the grave. 1 Corinthians 15, 54 and 55. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? The good news that Jesus Christ physically rose from the dead powerfully rocked the first century world. The Word of God declares that Jesus Christ literally and bodily rose from the grave. The resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead is an announcement to the whole world that he is the anointed one, anointed by God the Father. He is the Messiah. He is the Christ, the one who was anointed to be the Savior of the world. The resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead is an announcement to the whole world that Jesus Christ won the strategic victory on the cross. He solved mankind's problem of sin by his salvation work on the cross. The resurrection was not simply an ethereal or spiritual event. Jesus rose physically. He rose physically and bodily from the dead. And the facts are available for the whole world to see. He was crucified in Jerusalem. He was placed in a tomb in Jerusalem that was guarded by the Roman military. The Roman military. Perhaps the greatest military of all time. And therefore, it was impossible for his body to be stolen or taken by friends. And 3 days later, the tomb was empty. He appeared in his resurrection body to his disciples, to large groups of people, numerous times for 40 days after his resurrection. And we see this in the New Testament scriptures. First-hand testimony of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Well, let's start with Mary Magdalene. Turn over to John chapter 20. Mary Magdalene. John chapter 20, verse 1. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved. You see, this is the Gospel of John. He doesn't use his own name. He says, the one that Jesus loved. And he could add, and that was me. Hello. The one Jesus loved and said, they have taken the Lord out of the tomb. And we don't know where they have put him. Now go down to verse 10. Let's start at verse 10. Then the disciples went back to their home, but Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated there, seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" She answered, "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." And at this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. Now, Jesus is going to speak to her. "Woman," he said, "why are you crying?" And he's not saying that because he doesn't know. He knows. He's God. "Who is it you're looking for?" And he knows that too. Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." And Jesus said to her, "Mary." And that's all it took when he said, "Mary." She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. And then she grabbed a hold of him. She just grabbed a hold of him and clothes. And he says, "Don't hold on to me, for I have not yet returned to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them that I am returning to my Father and your Father, to my God and to your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. So first-hand testimony, first from Mary Magdalene. Mary Magdalene loved the Lord. She not only believed in Jesus Christ, she loved the Lord Jesus Christ. She fulfilled the mandate. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. That was Mary Magdalene. She loved the Lord Jesus Christ with all her heart, soul, mind, and strength. Now, Mary was not the only one to see Jesus after his resurrection. Later that day, he appeared to a couple who were walking home from Jerusalem. They are known as Cleopas and Mary. There's a name that some of you need, you could want to give your boy when it's born. Cleopas. Well, maybe Mary anyway. Not if it's a boy, but it's a girl. Turn to Luke 24. Luke 24. Luke 24, starting at verse 13. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them. But they were kept from recognizing him. And he asked them, what are you discussing together as you walk along? And he knows exactly what they're discussing. They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, are you only a visitor to Jerusalem and do not know the things that have happened there in these days? What things? He asked. About Jesus. About Jesus of Nazareth, they replied. He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed, before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but they didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. And then he, Jesus Christ, said to them, how foolish you are. Translated as, how stupid are you? No, how foolish you are. And how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ, when he says it, did not the Messiah, the Anointed One, have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And then, beginning with Moses and the prophets. Now, the Hebrew scriptures are divided in three parts. The Torah, the Nevi'im, the Ketuvim. Here we have the first two parts, the Torah and the Nevi'im. And beginning with Moses, the Torah, and the prophets, the Nevi'im, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus acted as if he were going on farther. But they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. And when he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. And then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us?" Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us? They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem, and there they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, "It is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." Then the two told what happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. Later that evening, Jesus was seen by 10 of the disciples. Turn over to John chapter 20. John chapter 20. John chapter 20, starting at verse 19. On the evening of that first day of the week, so we're still Resurrection Sunday, on the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked. Now, that's very important. The doors are locked. You can't get in unless you have a resurrection body. If you have a resurrection body, you just go through the door, whether it's locked or not. With the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace, eirene, peace, prosperity, blessing be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Eirene, peace, prosperity, blessing be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." And then verse 23, "If you forgive anyone his sin, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Now, this has been really messed up by a lot of people. What was Jesus saying? First of all, you can't forgive sins. I can't forgive sins. The only person who can forgive sins is God. God is the only one who forgives sins. So since only God can forgive sins, what he is saying is, those who listen to the grace gospel you give and believe in Jesus Christ, they will be forgiven their sins. Those who reject the grace gospel and refuse to believe in Christ, they are still dead in their sins. You have now the privilege to present the grace gospel of Jesus Christ to all. And they have a free will. They're free to believe it. When they do, their sins are forgiven. If they reject it, they're still dead in their sin. So that's what he's saying there. Now verse 24. Now Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he, Thomas, said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe it. Okay. Well, let's go down to verse 26. A week later, you know, and Jesus knows all this. And where is Thomas from? He's from Missouri. Missouri, my mother's from Missouri. And it was the Show Me State. They call it the Show Me State. Well, Thomas is from Missouri. Missouri, back in the Middle East. Verse 26, a week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them this time. Though the doors were locked, again, Jesus has a resurrection body, no problem. Jesus came and stood among them. And he said, Eirene, peace, prosperity, blessing be with you. And then he said to Thomas, put your finger here. See my hands? Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe. And Thomas said to him, my Lord and my God. Verse 29. Then Jesus told him, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Well, that's all of us. We haven't seen Jesus Christ, but you placed your faith in him. You have not seen him, but believed in him. And believe in his resurrection. He is resurrected, ascended, seated at the right hand of God the Father. Jesus was also seen by over 500. Turn over to 1 Corinthians 15. Oh, now you know what? We got to get another one in here on a fishing trip. This is very important. By the way, the best fisherman of all time was Jesus Christ. Some of you really like to be fishermen. The best you can do is number two. You can never be number one. But we'll take a break here, but we'll come back, because the next time the disciples saw Jesus Christ in his resurrection body was when they went fishing. And, you know, Peter is a different bug than everybody else. And he's out there fishing, and they're not catching a damn thing. But there's a guy on shore saying, how's the fishing? We haven't caught anything. Is your name Clay Vertrees? No. I'm not going to let that go, you know. Well, yet the rest of the story, come back for part two. We'll take a break.